continue where I left off this morning here, in that first chapter of the book of 1 Timothy, in that 15th verse, faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I told you this morning that our name is here. We're the sinners. And the Savior's name is here. Is Christ Jesus. And He's in the business to save. He was anointed. Christ is means anointed. He was fitted. He was set apart, set aside, commissioned, qualified to be the Savior of sinners. So we have before us our name, and we have the name of Him who saves, Christ Jesus. Now, Paul here, in making the statement, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. He spoke from his heart, from deep experience. And he said that it's a faithful saying, worthy of acceptation. And I don't think that you can find anyone in the whole wide world, living or dead, whoever responded to the statement that he's worthy, the statement is worthy of all acceptation, who tried what Paul said, committed themselves to the Lord Jesus, will find that Paul was untrue in making that statement. The Savior of sinners, worthy. Is he not able to save? I think I mentioned this morning. Is he not just the Savior we need? He's God, and yet man in one person. He's a man who can sympathize with us. One of the brethren here the other day talked about the mediator, the daysman. I believe his brother Drew talked about the daysman, talked about one that stands between man and God, one that can put his hand upon man and his hand upon God, reconcile us and bring us together. Well, he's suitable, fits our needs. He's a man, and as a man, he can sympathize with us. He knows us. And as God, he can save us. A just God and Savior. Able to sympathize because he's a man, is able to save because he's God. Blessed God-man, Christ Jesus. Now, let me begin by saying that Christ Jesus came into this world. He came into this world, which means that he existed before he came into this world. He came from heaven into this world. He existed before he came here in this world. I think there in John chapter 1, it says that he was in the beginning with God. Isn't that right? And was not anything made that was made. So he existed before he came into this world. You and I began our existence in this world. That's where we begin our existence. But He existed from the beginning in the glory of the Father. And in the fullness of time, in God's time, in due time, He came. He came from heaven into this world. Christ Jesus came into this world. Now, we have not to look to what He will do to save sinners. He's already done that. It's not what He will do. It's what He's already done. He's already done the work. He's already accomplished it. It's finished, the work that the Father has given Him to do. So many folks have been under that great delusion that He is kind of the role model, which is true. A great example. If we keep and follow His example, why, everything will be all right. Well, no, we're not to look what He is to do in the future, but what He's already done. Now, when He came and submitted Himself and wrought perfect obedience to God's holy law and lived in this world, and I told you last Wednesday night that He was despised and rejected and a man of sorrows, and it wasn't just for a month or two, but He was that from the time He came into the world until the time He left this world. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And in due time, He gave Himself, His pure, perfect soul. He gave Himself as a sacrifice for our sin. He is the burnt offering. Fire of justice fell on Him. Oh, listen. He came willingly, which is very evident from the text. Came willingly. That, I mean voluntarily. I mean that He came on His own free will. He's the only one that's got a free will. He came on His own free will. He came into this world. I say it again, the Savior of sinners is a thing to be heralded, to be talked about to others and to ourselves. Yeah. The salvation that's wrought by this man, Christ Jesus, as our covenant head, as our surety, as our representative. This salvation that He wrought and the manner that He done it and the willingness on His part to come voluntarily and give Himself in our stead and place and room should be the leading subject of our meditation and also our conversation. And it ought to be that which we desire to tell other people about, what God's done for us in Christ Jesus. The salvation of sinners is not a thing to be accomplished in the future, but He has come and He has been here. He is God Almighty in human form. He came. He's here. And He lived among men. And He came here and He stayed here. He'd come here for one day and one night. Didn't take a 3-day vacation. He came here and stayed 33 years. And the 33 years that he was here, he came hunting sinners. He came here seeking to save his lost sheep. That's what he was doing. Seeking to save his lost sheep. It's the old, old story, Pat. Jesus and his love. That's what it's all about. The old, old story. God could not, in justice, pass over human sin without an atonement. God couldn't do that. I don't care what this 20th century religious generation says. It's an impossibility for God to be God and to pass over human sin without an atonement. Can't do it. No way God will save any sinner apart from atonement. Sin must be atoned for. Sin must be paid for. Sin must be covered. Sin must be put away. And the only way that can be done is to, for God to come in human form and do it himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made the atonement for himself. Himself for us. He is our representative, our Savior. Jesus Christ, who is one with the Father, came here and gave Himself. Himself, Paul said, He loved us and gave Himself for us. And that He actually, that's a fact. That's a fact of God. Now, if He does not save sinners, and I read to you that this is a faithful saying, were they of our utmost consideration and commitment to it, worthy of it. Paul said it's worthy. If you try it, you'll find out that it's true. Worthy, he says, the faithful saying, worthy of our all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, listen to me. If He does not save sinners, if He does not save sinners, what? He's a failure. He said He came into this world to save sinners. Now, if He doesn't save sinners, He's a failure. Can you believe His coming here is a failure? I can't imagine. I can't imagine in the remotest sense that the Son of God is a failure. Oh, I believe in my soul that all He meant to accomplish by His coming here will be accomplished. He will save sinners. He may not save any sinners under my preaching, but He will save sinners. He must save sinners. He is no failure. I don't believe that no man shall ever be able to point to the Son of God and say or find any failure in His work. There's no failure in Him. There's no failure in God's creation. There's no failure in God's providence. There's no failure in the accomplishment of the purpose of God in Christ Jesus either. And when the whole story is wrote, or when the whole story is ended, when the whole kit and caboodle, when the whole shooting match is finalized, is finished and brought to an end, there will be no failure in His great work of redemption. Every sinner that He came to save will be saved by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. He identified with sinners. That great apostle. He placed himself on the ground with you and I. is the sinner, he said. That learned man. That man who sat at the feet of Gamaliel. That man who was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. That man who said, I kept him all. That man said, I take my place at the foot of the cross as a sinner. Many of us, I suppose, would say, Paul, sin no more grievously than we did before we was converted. We'd say that, wouldn't we? Oh, listen. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Now let me talk to you for just a few minutes here now about the coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. What we would call receiving Him, taking Him, appropriating this sinner's Savior unto ourselves. There's this confession. Paul made the confession. He said, of whom I am chief. Came save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm the worst of the lot. I'm the worst sinner that ever lived, Paul said. I make this confession. I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh, I confess that I'm a sinner, Paul said, and I know it. Don't confess that you're a sinner if you don't know it. But if you know you're a sinner, confess you're a sinner before God. Paul did. I'm a sinner and I know it. And I'm not proud of it. I mourn over it, don't you? I confess to God, Paul saying, that I've broken His holy law. I've broken it. I haven't kept it. And I confess that I believe He came in this world. He left heaven, and He came in this world willingly, not forcibly, not reluctantly. He came into this world gladly to save my soul by the shedding of His own blood. And Paul said, understanding that, understand what He did for me, I'm a greater sinner than I thought I was. I'm the chief of sinners. Huh? Oh, that I should need the Son of God to save me. I'm so far off from God. I'm so despicable and despisable and contemptible. I'm so corrupt and polluted. I'm so bad that I cannot be trusted. My heart is desperately wicked and I don't know it. I'm that bad that it takes the Son of God. And as I said at the outset, Almighty God came in human form. Son of God and Son of Man, one person. Takes Him to save my soul. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm worse than the chief of sinners. Takes Him to meet my needs as a sinner. Ah, how terrible I must be. How horrible I must be to rebel against such amazing love. God loved me, set His affections upon me before time ever was. God wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God told Paul, Paul was talking about them Corinthians going over there to Corinth, and he's a little hesitant, reluctant. God told Paul, He said, Paul, fear not. He said, I have much people in that city. I have much people in that city. There's people in that city whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have some over there. Oh, takes a Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Love us. Write our names down in the Lamb Book of Life. Leave the glories of heaven and come down here, be spit on, to be despised and rejected, cast out as the offscouring of the earth, to pay our debt, to set us free. Listen to me. He that has a great Savior will feel himself to be a great sinner. Huh? You have a great Savior, you'll feel yourself to be a great sinner. Be like old Paul. I'm chief, he said. Huh? Came down to save sinners of whom I'm chief. Well, now Paul said this after he's saved. Chief of sinners after he's saved. Well, he'd already experienced what God had done for him in Christ on the road to Damascus when God unhorsed him, put him in the dust, the scale of blindness on his eyes. Now he says, after he is saved and sanctified, making progress, great preacher, an apostle, he said, after I've been converted, after I've been saved by the grace of God, I am still the chief of sinners. That's what he said. Chief of sinners. This fella who, by his own testimony, said he was not a whit behind the chiefest of the apostles. And yet he said he's the chief of sinners. After he's saved. I say, if you've got a great Savior, you're a great sinner. The bigger God you have, the bigger sinner you're going to be. Huh? That's the reason why, Bob, people you talk to, religious people during the day, they don't know anything about what you're talking about. They don't. I told a fellow one time, I said, well, it depends on how big your God is. He said, do you think I can do this? And I said, it depends on how big your God is. You got a big God? You got a little God? You got a God that you have to pull the strings and let Him do things? I said, you don't let God do anything. God does what He wants to. Big God, you're a big sinner. Huh? Oh, listen. After He is saved, after being forgiven, after being justified, after being clothed in the righteousness of God by imputation, after having all of His sins forgiven, after being able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day, still able to say, I'm still the chiefest of sinners. I am too, and so are you. Where'd they get this business of you're going to be absolutely, immaculately holy someday? Not in this body of flesh. If Paul never experienced that, neither will we. We're still sinners. Even at our very best state, we're still sinners. He takes His place among sinners. I'm a sinner. Oh, listen to me. Some people think that there's nothing in faith. Faith, believe in God. Abraham believed God. That's what faith is, believe God. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into this world saved sinners. I'm a sinner. That's what Paul said. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm the chief of sinners. I excelled far beyond my brethren in holiness, righteousness, good deeds and all that. But he said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I lay hold of Him. I trust Him. I trust the man Christ Jesus. Without faith, someone said, well, faith, make too much of faith. But listen, faith trusting God, faith believing in His Son. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, isn't it? Without faith, faith is confessing who I am, confessing who He is, appropriating Him, receiving Him, taking Him, He's mine. That's what true faith is. Without that, you can't please God. God help you and me to believe. I don't like to use this word, but I will. Quit your doing. Cease your doing. This is a word I don't like to use, but I will. Cease your doing. Let God save you. That is His business, not yours. See? He came into this world to save sinners. That's His business. Cease your doing. Let Him save you. It's His business, not your business. It's His business to save. Let Him save. God help us. Then, I think old Paul, after he said this, I think he put down his pen. I think that he was so overcome with what God had done for him through Christ. So overcome that he couldn't help this outburst of worship, this outburst of praise. And he lifted up his voice with thanksgiving. And he said in verse 17, "Now unto the King Eternal." This worship here, I mean, he couldn't help himself. After he got into this down here, about him being a sinner, the chief of sinners, about the Son of God leaving glory, leaving heaven to come down here to save him, he said unto the King Eternal, the Lord Jesus, the King Eternal. Not temporary. I seen where the Queen of England was 91 years old, isn't she? Her birthday coming up. The Mother Queen, the real Queen, 91 years old. She just temporary, Bill. She's going to pass on. Nothing eternal about her. That is, in mortal flesh. Paul said, "But now unto the King Eternal." Always was and always will be the King Eternal. Immortal. Invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what Paul closed with, but couldn't help himself. And he said, "I charge you, Timothy, son Timothy, you'd continue this work. That thou mightest war a good warfare. Preach the gospel." Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.